Thank you, Lisa. Thanks, Stan. We're going to cross the threshold in our study of the book of Ephesians into chapter 6 today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 3 today, and we're going to be looking at God-honoring actions and attitudes of children. Just because we cross the threshold in and head down the home stretch in our study of Ephesians doesn't mean we're going to be running towards the finish line at blazing speed. I'm sure you recognize that. But we will eventually get through it. And just because we've hit a chapter milestone doesn't mean that the theme has changed in the Apostle Paul's instructions to us. We are still learning about the Spirit-filled life. And one aspect of the Spirit-filled life is living in submission one to another. Well, that was what we saw in chapter 5, verse 21, that we are to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then we saw that mutual submission applied in the husband and wife relationship, where wives are to be subject to their own husbands, and husbands are to be subject to their wives by loving them as Christ loves the church. So, but then today, we're going to see what this submission looks like in the instructions to children. And we find these instructions in the first three verses of chapter 6 of Ephesians, where it says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." So kids, I'm preaching to you today. And I'm preaching to, let me see, they got some way back there and I got some up here. I'm preaching to you today because the Word of God speaks directly to you today. You are the children. And it's encouraging that God cares enough about children to tell them what His will is for them. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until you become an adult to begin to concern yourself with what God wants you to learn. You can start now. God cared enough now to let you know what His will is for you. And God's will is revealed in for you in these three verses, and they are very important. And God made these instructions easy to understand. There are two basic ideas conveyed in these instructions today, and we see those ideas conveyed in the verbs that are used in verses 1 and 2. Now, this is an English lesson of sorts, because I want one of you kids to tell me, what is the verb in verse 1?
Obey.
Obey. Very good. What's the verb in verse 2? Somebody other than Lydia. And it's a little bit trickier to find because you don't tip. What is it? What's the verb in verse 2? Who said that? One of the kids? Can you find it? It's honor. Very good. That's a little more tricky because a lot of times you don't find the verb as the first word in the sentence, right? But the subject is kind of implied there. Children, obey, and children, honor your parents. Obey and honor are the two basic ideas in the instructions to children. And I'm going to give you something that might help you to remember them. You guys know, you come here enough to know how I like to alliterate the points of my sermons, right? And by alliteration, that means I'm starting the main points with the same letter so that we can try to remember them. And the letter here that both points start with is the letter A. Because the two things you need to focus on remembering today are what God wants from you in regards to your actions, And that's tied to the verb obey. And what would be the letter A for the second one? On honor, that would be what God wants in regards to your attitudes. So learn the instructions from God's word regarding what he wants from you in regards to your actions and your attitudes. Let's talk first about your actions. Verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now we're going to talk about obedience here in just a minute, but before we do, let's understand what Paul means by obeying your parents. It's clear who you're supposed to obey, right? It's your parents. But what about this phrase, "in the Lord"? When the scriptures talk about someone in the Lord, it's referring to people who are in Christ. Being in Christ is one of the main topics of the whole book of Ephesians. We've seen that phrase used several times throughout our study of the book. And if that's what this means, in the Lord, then that would mean that you have an obligation only to obey those parents who are Christians. But I'm here to tell you that God's will for children goes beyond just obeying parents who might happen to be Christians. It is all parents God wants children to obey. So let's look at a parallel passage that will help clarify this for us. If you want to turn over a couple of books towards the back of the Bible to the book of Colossians chapter 3, we're going to see a similar instruction in a parallel passage. And we find it here in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 20. It says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." And I think that verse gives us a better understanding of what it means to obey your parents in the Lord. Children are to obey your parents in all things because that is pleasing to the Lord. And you are to do this because it is well-pleasing to the Lord. I got some more children up here and one back there that I hope are going to listen to this. You do it because it's right. You do it because it's the right thing to do. One of my favorite sayings, I got it from Craig Harlan many, many years ago. I guarantee you can say it with me. It is, "You win or lose by the way you choose." And if you always choose the right thing, you always win. And it is the right thing to do to obey your parents in all things. So what does this idea of obedience entail? What is involved in this, in obedience? Well, I've got a definition that I want to teach you today that I learned many years ago. I have attempted with varying degrees of success to teach this to my children through the years. And I will consider this message a success if you kids can remember this definition when this message is over. And here's the definition. Obedience is doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it. I got some success over there with Kara, with a right heart attitude. It's doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, with a right heart attitude. I think that captures both aspects of both your actions and your attitudes. But let me illustrate it for just a minute. And Dylan, I like to pick on you. Let's say your mom tells you to carry out the trash. Does she ever do that? Ask you to carry out the trash? It's a common task. Happens every day at our house. Somebody has to carry out the trash. And all right, so Dylan, if mom says, "Dylan, would you carry out the trash?" If you say, "Mom, I did it last time, it's Blake's turn." Is that obedience? No. All right. Because you don't do it, right? All right, let's say you're in the middle of reading the best chapter in your favorite book. And mom says, Dylan, would you please take out the trash? And you say, in a little while, mom, I'm right in the middle of this chapter of my book. Is that obedience? No. Oh, what if mom says, Dylan, would you carry out the trash? And slam the book down. Don't lose your place. You turn it upside down, lay it down. You get up. You wander over to the trash can. You grab up the bag and you slam the door on the way out and throw the trash away. Is that obedience? No. But you did it. And you did it when she said to do it. But not with the right attitude. It's doing what you're told to do. And children, there's only one excuse for not doing what your parents ask you to do. And that is if they ask you to do something that clearly violates the will of God. And don't try telling mom, I don't think it's God's will for me to take the trash out right now, mom. It has to be something that clearly violates the commands of Scripture. And then you need to respectfully challenge what they have asked you to do by saying, Mom or Dad, let's think about what doing this is going to do to the heart of God. It's a clear violation of His will. The second part of the definition has to do with doing it when you are told. It is a very good idea, children, and the younger you are, the better it is that you learn how to do this. A very good idea to learn to respond to your parents' instructions immediately. They may someday say, son, move 10 steps to the right and do it now. Because they want you to move out of the path of an oncoming car. And if you choose to do that when you feel like it or when you get around to it, it might be too late. It might be for your safety that you learn to obey when you are told to obey. The third part is doing what you're told with a right heart attitude. And this might be the toughest part of all. This means that you do what your parents ask, even if you don't see the point. Even if you don't want to do what they've asked you to do, even if you think it's a waste of time or you don't feel like it or it's interrupting something else that you might be doing, you learn to do it with a right heart attitude. I tell you what, it's refreshing to me to go to Chick-fil-A. And you know why? It's because every time you ask them for something, what's their response? It's my pleasure. And you know what? I think they mean it. Or at least they are trained well enough to convince me that they mean it. Try that, kids. Try. The next time mom or dad asks you to do something, just get up right then and say, my pleasure. Now I'm going to tell my kids, wait till I get the refresher course in CPR before you do that in my house, because I'm going to need it on my wife. But that's what we're after, folks, kids. That's what God wants from you. Doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, with a right heart attitude. You know, there are other uses of this word obey in scriptures. And we won't turn there, but I'll tell you in Matthew chapter 8, I'm having trouble getting Matthew and Mark mixed up today, aren't I? In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 27, the disciples, their response to Jesus, something miraculous that Jesus did, they were in the boat, the waves were blowing on the Sea of Galilee, they were afraid they were about to die, and they woke Jesus up and he was asleep in the bottom of the boat, and he stood up and said, you guys of little faith, and he spoke to the waves and the wind, and they were calm. And the men, they looked around and said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? There's an example of obedience The waves and the wind did exactly what Jesus said to do, and they did it when he said to do it. Now, waves and wind aren't capable of having an attitude, right? So there's another example in the scriptures where Jesus was teaching in the synagogue in Mark chapter 1. And there was a person who came in, a man who came in who was possessed by demons. And Jesus commanded the demons to leave. And the demons, and the response after it was over was, even the demons obey. And they have they have an attitude, right? They did what they were told to do when they were told to do it. They might not have had the right heart attitude because they are demons, but they obeyed. They obeyed. Obedience, your actions are important. Let's talk about your attitude. We find the instructions regarding our attitude in verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Look at those verses, kids, and you'll notice in my translation of the Bible, those words, honor your father and mother, are in all capital letters, which tells me those are quoted from the Old Testament. Now, who can tell me where we find this commandment in the Old Testament? Any of you kids know? Do you know? It's one of the Ten Commandments. That's exactly right. It's one of the Ten Commandments. In fact, Paul tells us the first commandment with a promise. So let's turn back to these Ten Commandments, and I want to show you something about why this instruction is so important. In Exodus chapter 20 is where we first find these Ten Commandments. And let's look at them for just a minute. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 3, we find the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment, verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The first four commandments, kids, deal with our relationship to God. Vertical relationship to God. Then we come to the fifth commandment in verse 12, and we see this commandment. Here's where it's quoted in Ephesians 6. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. But there's more. Don't murder, verse 13. You shall not commit adultery, verse 14. You shall not steal, verse 15. You shall not bear false witness or lie, verse 16. And verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. Did you notice, kids, a change in the emphasis? Starting with the fifth commandment all the way through the tenth, the emphasis is not directing us towards our relationship with God, but our relationship towards other people. Towards other people. And the first commandment in the second group is the one concerning your parents. We are to honor our father and mother. And I would ask you to consider, think about this with me this morning, why would God put in all of these commandments about how we deal with other people, why would God put first the one regarding honoring our mother and father? Why would God put that first? And I would remind you, if you go back and read the account of how we got those Ten Commandments, they were etched in stone by the finger of God, right? Moses didn't take a hammer and chisel and listen to God and say, here's the Ten Commandments, and then Moses didn't decide which order they were going to be in. God etched them himself, and God is the one who said that in all of our dealings with other people, there's one thing that lays the foundation for learning how to deal with other people, and that is we learn first to honor our father and mother. God put this one first because it's foundational, because it's of primary importance, because this is where it starts for you kids. God wants you to learn how to relate to everybody else properly by having you learn first how to honor your father and your mother. And God placed you children in the family that you are in under the authority of the parents that you have so that you could learn to live in submission to authority. And back when we studied Ephesians 5:21, where we learned about living in mutual submission to one another, we learned way back then that living in submission to one another, the best way to explain that is with a passage of Scripture from Philippians chapter 2. And I got a challenge for you kids. If you have not yet committed Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 to memory, you need to do that because they tell us to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. You see, your parents are trying to teach you. Your parents are trying to teach you how to live for the honor of something other than yourself. It is self-interest. It is self-interest that leads to murder, that sixth commandment, right? It is self-interest that leads to adultery, that seventh commandment. It is self-interest that leads to stealing, self-interest that leads to lying, self-interest that leads to coveting. And the very best way for you to learn to conquer self-interest is to learn to honor, to have the proper attitude towards your mom and dad, your father and your mother. Your parents are teaching you and training you to live so that you can learn to, as the greatest commandment says, to love God more than you love yourself. And as the second commandment said, your parents are training you to live as the second commandment teaches, to love others as you love yourself. And I'll promise you, kids, you're not having a bit of trouble loving yourselves. But neither are any of the rest of us. They're helping you understand the importance of looking out not only for your own interests, but also the interests of others. You learn to honor others by learning to honor your father and mother. The word honor means to highly value, to hold in highest regard. It means to respect them. It means to think more highly of them than you do yourself. And God gave you your parents so you could learn to hold someone other than yourself in highest regard. God gave you your parents so you could learn to highly value and highly respect someone other than yourself. And God ultimately wants you to learn to highly esteem them, highly value, highly respect them so that you will learn how to highly respect Him. If you learn to honor your parents, it'll be easier to go through life doing what is honoring to God. A person who grows up with a sense of respect and obedience for parents will have the foundation of respecting the authority of God and other leaders and the rights of other people in general. The world's going nuts about respecting the rights of others, and they're going about it all wrong. We learn to respect the rights of others by learning to respect the authority that God puts in our life, and it starts with our respect for parents. And look at the promise in verse 3. The commandment to honor your father and mother is the first commandment with a promise, and that promise is so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And kids, I got to tell you, it doesn't mean that if you obey and honor your parents, you're automatically going to live to be 100 years old. This promise was related to God's promise to His children. And God's children were the nation of Israel, right? And God told His children, He promised His children that if they would obey Him and follow His and listen to His commands and do what He asked them to do, He would protect them, He would provide for them, and He would bless them in the land in which they lived, the nation of Israel. And if you've read your Old Testament, kids, you know that they didn't do that very good, right? And God removed them. They became like the godless people of the nations which surrounded them. And God warned them and warned them. And then God removed His protection and He removed them from the land. What did they do? What did the people of Israel do? They did not do what God asked them to do. So they were led away captive as slaves into foreign lands. But here's what this promise means for you. Here's the promise for you, what it means. It is generally true that the better you learn to obey and honor the authority of your parents, the better you will learn to obey and honor the other authorities in your life. And the better you learn to obey and honor the other authorities in your life, the better life will go for you. You will always, kids, you will always be living under someone else's authority. You'll always be living under God's authority. And that's the most important one, but you need to learn how to honor and obey the authority of your parents, because you're going to always live under the authority of a government. You're going to more than likely work for somebody else, and you're going to have to learn how to honor and obey the authority of an employer. You can break the laws of government, but you'll eventually get caught. And it doesn't end well when you end up in jail. How long do you get to keep your job and keep your paycheck if you don't learn to listen to the instructions of a boss and do what he or she tells you to do? Not very long. It will be well with you if you keep that job and keep the paycheck coming. If you don't, it doesn't go so well for you. I'll promise you, the Gospel Rescue Mission is a lot more fun to go to for ministry than it is to go for a place to live. So kids, it's all about your actions and your attitudes, obedience and honor. And I want to promise you something, kids. And I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart, even to my kids. Your parents have your best interest at heart. Rebecca, you're here as a grown young woman today. Did I just lie? Your parents always had your best interest at heart, didn't they? Did you like what they told you to do all the time? No. But they always had your best interest at heart. They don't make up rules, and they don't make up stuff that you don't like just to make you miserable. That's all bonus. Your misery is just a bonus for your parents, right, Mickey? No, it's not really. I'm kidding. They understand the importance of things that you don't yet have a clue about. You need to trust them. And more importantly, you need to know that God always knows what He's talking about. God hasn't messed up yet in the writing of these instructions. And He hasn't exempted anyone yet from doing what this word says, right? So I don't care how stupid your parents are. Obey them and honor them. Because really it's not how stupid they are, it's just how stupid you think they are. They're not stupid. Obey them and honor them. God is always right. Your parents aren't perfect, and they're not always right. But God is perfect, and God is always right, and God said, obey and honor. It applies to your actions. It applies to your attitudes. And he tells us to honor, obey your parents, and honor your father and mother. Now, kids, here's the test that you have to pass before you get to eat lunch. What is the definition of obedience? I want to hear it, kids. Obedience is doing what you're told to do. I'm not hearing many kids. Y'all are going hungry. Not really. Tell them what it is, Kara. Doing what you're told to do when you're told to do it with a right heart attitude. It's not the first time she heard that. And I'll bet that's the definition of obedience that Jenna and Liam will learn as they grow up. It's important. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, God, for speaking to our children. You speak to them clearly. You speak to them authoritatively. And you speak to them words of life. We ask you to bless their understanding. Bless all of our understanding of your truth. It has application to all of us. We all need to learn the importance of obedience and honoring. We need to obey you with our actions and honor you with our attitudes toward you. So this has application across the board to all of us. But bless our children. Give them understanding hearts. And help them to understand, help them to realize, God, how much you care about them by speaking your truth to their life, into their lives and their hearts. So seal these truths to their hearts forever. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.